Maybe we need to start there with our housekeeping matters. I was jokingly saying I'm getting used to operate with two members. If you look the work which we have done in the last week as a committee, dealing with the transformation of the print media and also the issue of digital migration. Indeed, your efforts will go noticed that you were there throughout until we finish and so on. But members, welcome back. I know some of you are still tired from the constituency work, those who do constituency work. Others, I'm sure, it was party work. It was a hectic 2 weeks. We had various invitations. I assume that members were busy because they could not be able to attend some of the conferences and activities. That shows probably that we were focusing to the people who elected us to be here, doing our constituency work as is required from time to time. But we are back, and we are back for a very terrible 2 weeks. As we all know that we must deal with the budget, the annual reports, and then finalize our report as required by the legislation, the BRR reports, a legislation which has got the timelines, not just an open legislation. As you know, that as committees we're supposed to table our recommendation in terms of the BRR reports and consider that report as a committee, which must then be tabled in the National Assembly. Part of the issues which we need to deal with is that I think we've already dealt with part of the work when we're dealing with the first quarter. The first quarter reports for the departments and the entities, that is part of what we should be doing, I think, at least. We'll be focusing mostly on the annual reports and the other things, but our report must also go back to consider our findings and our observation during the first quarter report, which we have dealt with. Sometimes we don't appreciate the difficulty we're having as a committee, and sometimes the entities and the department, which they don't appreciate, that the legislation allows us or require us to do so. We approve the budget and operational plans. That's what the legislation is saying. So those people who sometimes, from time to time, complain that the committee is operational, I don't know how to approve an operational plan and not become operational. Because you see, when you approve an operational plan, it means you must be able to evaluate as you move forward how people are operating. And that on its own, unintentionally, of course, might make people to perceive the committees as starting to be operational. But unfortunately, it's the legislation for Parliament, the law of this country. All what we are doing what the law says. So I think that it's a matter that we need to continue to stress to thrash out with various levels and some of the entities so that they understand and appreciate our difficulty as a committee in terms of executing our responsibility. We have invited the Auditor General to come and take us through in terms of their work which they have done for 2010-2011 in terms of the annual reports for the department and the entities before we start to engage the department and the entities so that they are able to highlight issues if there are any. If there are none, it's okay, but they'll make us wiser in engaging with our work and so on. But before probably we do that, members, you've got a very, very tight program before you, which we need to look into it and decide to internalize it. What informs the program is that the first 2 weeks from today and next week are committee weeks. There will be no sitting. Until after the 21st, when we've adopted the BRR reports. There will be sitting. Part of those sitting will have to adopt the reports. As I've already mentioned, I'm sure members are familiar about the importance of this report because it is where we feel that there are some funds, removal, addition, and whatever, we should be able to recommend as a committee so that the Minister of Finance, moving forward, doing his work, will consider the recommendation of the committees and so on. And it's required by the same legislation I was talking about when it tabled his budget to respond to the committee's recommendation, how it has taken those recommendations forward and so on. So I think it's a very important process which we need to start to internalize it ourselves and take it serious if we indeed want to improve the issue of service delivery and so on. But members who are dealing with the program, as I've indicated, that the first 2 weeks is a committee week, there are no sittings. We are trying to come with a program which will make sure that come the 21st, next week, Friday, we are adopting the BRR reports. We hope we'll be able to do that as we can. That's why you'll see that some of the meetings are even continuing afternoon, and also some of the days they are meetings from 2 afternoon because we're trying to accommodate party caucuses, but at least afternoon we're able to do work. The program is with you, members. I'm told it was also circulated earlier. I requested it to be circulated earlier so that members can be able to look into that particular program. And then after the 2 weeks, we are more or less going back to our normal program. But there are issues that as a committee we might miss that week of 24 to 28 October. There is an ITU in Geneva, Switzerland. Some of the members will be attending that particular event. So the week of 24 to 28 is not available for the committee to do any work. Until we come, when we come back, it will be November, and then we try to finish our work and so on. But if things goes well, we might go out of that week already done the shortlisting of the MTTA and the SAPC. We'll see how things goes, but those things which are things which we need to be flexible and accommodate from time to time within our program. So that's the program, members. From the issue of interview of MTTA and SAPC, you will see that the 8th of November, we have bring back the issue of MTTA and the advertising industry. They came and briefed the committee about transformation there. We raised issues. We say they must go back, MTTA and the advertising industry. We are anticipating that they'll be coming back on the 8th of November to tell us in terms of how do we move forward in terms of the issues which were raised. One of the key issue members, as you remember, that it's a matter which we got it from oversight that the local print media, including the broadcasting, community radios and so on, they don't have access to the advertising, to the ad spend of companies, including government and so on. Hence, we say because they are in the industry, they must go back and come back to us and indicate how do we make sure that those things might be possible and so on. And also, there are issues of transformation that the advertising industry has been under transformation like any other industry. But it seems as if they are moving in a pace, in a slow pace. So we'll wait for them to come and give us that report on the 8th. 15 and 16. As you remember that when we had the print media transformation in Durban, the one which we are indebted to the opposition in terms of their ever presence for those activities, they requested themselves, I need to reemphasize that they will prefer that individuals, the major four print media house in the country, because it's dominated by four independent newspaper, Avusa Media 24, Naspers, and Texting Media. They requested that they want to come and make presentation individually. You remember that during the Indaba, they indicated that the average black ownership is 14%. The average issue of women is around 4% for the past 17 years. But that was an average. So after that, they requested that they want to come and present maybe so that it becomes clear who's who in the zoo around compliance and the other things and so on. So we are taking them 15 and 16 November as per their request. 22nd November, it's a progress report where we need the monitoring task team, which comprise of a DOC, National Treasurer, and SAPC, around the issue of government guarantee and related issues. Then 29 to 9 December, we should be taking an international study tour as a committee, if things goes well, on those countries there. And then 12 to 15 December, it should be a constituency period where we must go back to those who elected us. And then 19 December to 6 January, members are on leave. So that will be the program. But as I've indicated, that obviously the issue of filling of vacancies of SAPC and MTDA might like us to have some flexibility around the issue of the program. If anything comes, it means it's a matter which we must discuss with the members so that we see how do we accommodate it in the program. But the next full 2 weeks is only for the annual report and the VRR report. It has been blocked and we've been forbidden even to go anywhere. We just have to finalize those issues and so on. Thanks very much, members. That's the program. Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, did you want us to move for adoption? Or did you want us to deliberate further on it?
I just want the acceptance of it. We're on it already today.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to formally move that we adopt it, and that obviously we, as we proceed, we will see where we need to make some adjustments. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Chair, yes, I'm in favour of adopting the program. Chair, what I will ask, it is embarrassing when you can't be in your portfolio committee because of other commitments, and no one wants to miss issues in your portfolio committee because we all have busy schedules. So, Chair, if we are going to change something, if we can do it with a fair amount of notice, because even the receipt of this particular program, we got this program last week Friday as members. Now, you know, the DA has a federal council this weekend, which means that on Friday I can't be here and I have to leave Honourable Van den Berg here on his own. And that's also not fair because Honourable Van den Berg shouldn't always have to carry the flame going, you know what I mean? But if we can just, you know, in time inform members, and then we can also adjust our schedules. We're not selfish or unreasonable in terms of adjusting schedules, but we do have to be notified in a certain amount of time, Chair. Thanks.
Yeah. Any changes, we'll communicate it earlier. Because as we are saying, we need also to manage our lives outside the Parliament program and so on. Members, thanks very much. We are proceeding with the program. If there are changes, then we'll communicate to you as we have outlined. Auditor General, are you ready? Okay, you can take us through. Maybe just to brief members quickly on the issue of the petition from the post office employees. I've communicated with post office. I've made an arrangement that they must make those people meet and get representatives. So we are waiting for the list of their representatives, which hopefully the committee will be able to engage in taking for us those matters. That's how far we are on that particular matter, as you remember. Auditor General.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Thank you for this opportunity. Before we start, I just want to do some clarification of who is responsible for what. Within my portfolio, and then specifically Putty, is the senior manager responsible for the department, NAMISA, the Universal Services Agency, and the fund. ICASA is also audited by us, but not by Putty himself, but we'll deal with it today. And then we have opted not to perform the audits for Post Office, Centec, Telkom, and SABNC, but we have included it in our presentation today, because Putty has been very active and involved in attending audit committees, so he's got a fair sense of what is happening in those audities. And then my colleague is Lawrence van Vieren. He's the business executive responsible for GCIS. So once we're done, he'll be taking you through the GCIS report. Thank you. Thanks, Putty.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Putty, the senior manager responsible for communication and entities. It is my honor and my joy this morning to give you the brief overview of the summary of the annual report and the outcomes of the entities. So I want to first start by our reputation promises or our mission. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. So whenever we go, whatever we do, this will be our flag flying high to show that the funds of South African public are spent wisely. There's somebody who's following them through to the last cents. And then if to give you the brief summary of the national movement in audit outcome for completed audit, in the 2010-2011, we had 55% on the financially unqualified with findings, which comprises of 286 entities. And then on the blue one for financially unqualified with no findings, it is 30%, which comprises of 158 entities. And then on the blue, the purple one, on the qualified one, it was 13%, which comprises of 66 entities. And then on the disclaimer and the adverse, it was the 2%, which comprises of the 12%. Now, going further back to the blue one, this is the AG stream by 2014, whereby he has got a dream that all the entities that he was auditing, they can have a result which is called financially unqualified.
So before you proceed, my apologies. Welcome, DG, for communication and your delegation, and also you see, Mr. Mani, your title sometimes is confusing. CEO or something, you see. We're not using the public service, but and the CEO for GCIS and the leader of the delegation from GCIS and the entities and all the entities which are here. We're still in a constituency period mode. We're still trying to change. My apology. You can continue.
Okay, I was saying on the financially unqualified with no findings, the one that comprises of the 30%, this is the AG stream by the 2014, whereby he's got a dream and a vision that from all the entities that is auditing, it can come back with a result where it is financially unqualified with no finding. However, the AG alone cannot really achieve this, so the portfolio committee has a very great active role to play in this one, whereby where entities, they bring their action plan, they bring the annual report, you can give them clear guidance and give them direction, especially those with financially unqualified with finding, just to find from them what must they do additionally in order to get away with those findings so that it can be financially unqualified with no findings. And then this will come out from the general report once it is completed towards the end of the year. And if I were to give you just a brief outcome for the 2010-2011 for the communication entity, we had on the 2009, we had financially unqualified with no findings and with no predetermined objective with laws and regulations, which will be the public entity, which was SAPO, and we had financially unqualified with findings on predetermined objectives, compliance with laws and regulations, which will be Centec, Post Office, USASA, and NEMISA. And we had two qualification, which will be ICASA and which will be SABC. And then on the department, we had financially unqualified with findings. And if I were to compare them from last year to this year, we had one improvement in the department because last year it was qualification and this year it's financial unqualified with findings. And if I were to another improvement in the entity, it will be Centec because last year it was qualified and this year it's financially unqualified with matters. And then on the regressions, it will be SABC because last year it was unqualified, this year it is qualified. And also Post Office last year, it was clean, it was financially unqualified with no findings. This year it's financially unqualified with findings due to the irregular expenditure. And then Centec remains unchanged. It's still qualification last year, and then this year still qualification as well. Pardon? Yes, I'm talking to this thing. The meat is in the nose. Okay. Okay. Okay, and then if I were to analyze the movement in audit outcomes from 2009 to 2010, we see that there is an improvement with financial unqualified with findings, which will be our department, and the one that is unchanged will be the five entities, and the regress will be the two. And then if I were to analyze them, the movement from last year to this year, we see that SAPO moved from financially unqualified with no findings to financially unqualified with findings, which is a regression. But on the other side, we see that Centec has improved from qualification to financially unqualified with no findings. But on the other side, we see that SABC as well regressed. But the overall picture, I think the entire communication went up because one was qualified last year, and this year it's a 2-1 ratio. So I think on the overall, it has improved. Yes, Kabina Gawena. And then if I were to take you through the predetermined objective findings for the department and for the public entity, under the non-compliance there for the 2011 and for the 2010, we've got 25%, which means there was no improvement, it still remained the same. And then for the not usefulness criteria, also we still have 37% and 37%. And under the not reliable as well is the 37% and 37%. If I were to take you through the breakdown under the non-compliance, which entities are. For the non-compliance part, for the 2010 and for the 2011, it will be for the SABC, and it will be for the USASA. And if I were to take you for the not usefulness, it will be for the USASA, for the SABC, and for the ICASA. The same as well for the not reliable. However, we see that on the presentation last year, there was nothing under the 2009 and 10. But this year there is something which will be also from ICASA for the presentation. So on the overall picture under the predetermined objective, we see that the entities, they are doing something. However, we just need to find out from them what is it that they must just do to get away with this finding, because it's not a lot of entities. It is these three entities, SABC, ICASA, and USASA, that are having all the yellows there. So if something can be done from them, from their action plans to be reviewed, then hopefully next year they'll get away with this finding. Then we can have a clear, better picture from our communication predetermined objective findings. And if I were to give you the graph on the findings on the non-compliance with laws and regulations on the department there, we see that we had a finding on the strategic planning and performance. The reason why it will be 100% is because there was only one department. So if, for instance, we had five departments and there were one finding, so the ratio will have been different. It will not be 100%. So here it was a finding of one department over one department. hence why the percentage is 100%. So we had a finding on the strategic planning and performance management, on the annual financial statements and annual report, on the procurement and contract management, on the HR management and compensation, and on the expenditure management there. Mainly because if I were to compare the entities and the department, then I need to go to the next slide and come back, then you'll be able to see a clear picture of who had more findings on which area, why is it many findings on such kind of area. So let me go to the next slide for the entities, then I can come back to this one. If I were to compare with the entities, we see that 29% for the entities is on the strategic planning and performance management, which is SABC and Centec, and annual financial statement and annual report is SABC. On the budget for 14%, it is SABC. On the expenditure management, it is SABC, it is SACO, and it is Centec. And then on the revenue management, it is SABC, and almost all of them except the telecom had findings on the procurement and the contract management. Hence, you can see the graph there on the procurement and contract management is 86%, which means almost all the entities, six of them, they had this finding. It was only the telecom one which was a clean. So if I were to compare, it will be an apple and orange because it is seven entities, but here it is is one department. So it will be 1/1, which will give me 100%. And then on the other side, it will be, let's say, one entity over seven. So the ratio will always not be 100%. It will be 14, 29, depending on how many entities get a finding on this one. And then if I were to give you a summary for the qualification areas, we see that on the public entities, we had two qualifications on the capital assets, which will be the ICASA, and it will be SAPC. Both of them got a qualification due to capital assets. The breakdown or the summary of this is in the notes, in the same slide that I provided to you. And then on the revenue as well, we see that ICASA got a qualification on the opening balance of the National Revenue Fund. And then if you were to look at the repeat finding, we see that ICASA got the same type of...
Repeatedly you say the explanations on the notes. I don't have the notes.
On the same slide.
Which?
If you view them with notes, you'll be able to see the notes.
I've got a hard copy. I can't view anything. What is here is here.
Yes, so if you print the hard copy, you can have an option to print with notes.
Also, it means those who gave us the document decided to print the presentation, not the notes.
Maybe they did not know how to print with the notes.
Because we are battling, we have been saying notes. I'm trying to see the notes are not here. I think the notes will be helpful because more of your explanations on the notes.
When you print, there's an option to print with notes.
Some of them were born BBC before computer or BBT before technology. Yours is good. We need this one. Do you have this one?
The same slide. If you print it with option, you can get.
Okay. No, it's fine. Maybe request that they do the printing. Do you have another copy, sir?
No,
members, let us request that people who know technology must just print us. They are saying there's an option for the presentation. Then you click the other option. The notes also are going to be printed. We'll just request that is done because I think your notes are helpful in terms of the flow and so on. Initially, I thought it's me, members are fine. Then later, I realized that they are also struggling. Honorable Clerk.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, I fully concur with you because this is a very important overall presentation, and we really want to make sure that we understand the moves up and down. And I don't believe it would be proper for this committee to just deal with the matter sort of from an overview of, 100% because this is how it was calculated, etc. I mean, we really need to drill down to see where are the problem areas and where are the repeated instances of non-compliance, because all of that has an impact on how money is spent. Then we should also look at the sort of unqualified with notes, or, you know, sort of emphasis of the matter, etc. Because some of it were there in the past and we have not seen any improvement. And I think it's important for us to know that we need to understand our role of oversight over the minister and the department to make sure that those shortcomings are actually addressed. Ultimately, it's public funds, and we must be able to account to the public for what we are doing to understand what goes wrong in departments when they don't meet Treasury regulations, PFMA requirements, and all of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it's more of our support staff in terms of the printing. They didn't understand the system. It's too advanced for them. But they're trying to get it now. I'm looking at the one of the GIS. It seems to be simple and clear. And so on. So that also, maybe it's got to do with the age of the presenters. The other one was DPT, born before technology. The other one, the age also maybe says a lot. Honorable for the best.
I just want to say one very, very important thing. This has got bugger all to do with age. It's all about logic. If you write down what is wrong and what is right, I will understand it. It's nothing to do with age. And I think the what is going wrong the most of the time, the computer literate people try to be funny. You know, they are playing with, with like a what is, on just graphic, yeah, they're playing with graphics and they can use all the computer systems. And they try to impress us. That's the whole thing. Mr. Mann, you must listen very, very carefully. Don't try and impress me. Give me the facts. And I will be glad. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Father Ben. Drogen. Niemand nog drogen.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a pity that the presenter left, but I want to be clear before we're going to waste more time. I do agree with Honorable Gilliam. The first presentation we got from the AG this year, with all the columns, did show all each of the entities as they were qualified in the findings. And we really wanted the same presentation today. When they go ahead to print, I'm not sure if we're still going to be clear on this matter. So, but there's nowhere it shows on this slide ICASA, the different entities, the names, and we really need the notes. And like they did at the first report to us, we really would like the same presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have one copy of the presentation. It does have the entities. I didn't have it before. They only gave me now. So I'm just like you. They just gave me now. But it does have the names, who's qualified, unqualified, and the other thing, in the little bit details, the notes. Honorable Ketane, welcome. Your floor.
Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I just wanted to say, I think it's a standard thing that anything that you're writing and there's extra information, you either do a footnote if it is a book or an appendage. So it is a standard thing because if you include some information, some of it is not there, and it is supposed to be part of the information. You can either footnote. It's a standard thing, anyway. That the main text is there, but if there's additional information, you can footnote it or you can put it as an appendage. And if it is an appendage, then it is part of that document. So I'm sure the people who are presenting are professors, and they know this is a standard thing.
Thank you, members. Can we take this IS? Because their presentation, they seem to be meet. Whilst they are trying to get the necessary documents, because it might take time. I hope we are not putting you under spotlight. You can take us through. We'll wait the other one to come back. Maybe we start it.
Unfortunately, not my computer, so yeah, that will help. But while she's doing that, can you come this side? Chairperson, members, I'll be guided by you. The presentation that we've done is in a bit of a different format because I also serve many other portfolio committees, and there the request was that we also give them some background information and some training on the format of the audit reports. Can I just get some feedback from you? Do you want me to focus on that as well, or just on the content of the audit reports?
Rachel, Kida.
Chairperson, I think it always assists if we can just go through it, because if you don't work with it regularly, it's always a refresher. So I would like to propose that that we just get an overview of exactly you know, how the report is compiled. Thank you.
We are in Africa, you see. When Auditor General at DOC comes back, they'll find that there's another one taking over. So proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. We basically, in our presentation, just go back to highlight the legislative requirements, and I think key in that is to realise that the key responsibility to ensure accurate and complete financial statements and performance information is actually the responsibility of the accounting officer. And then in terms of legislation, it's required from the Auditor General to audit those financial statements. And if you look at point number three, they're very important that we actually need to focus on three areas. It's our opinion on the financial statements, whether the financial statements are fairly presented or not. We need to report on compliance and financial management, and we need to report on predetermined objectives. So if you look at our audit reports, you will find all three of those elements in our audit reports. And it's key for this committee, from an oversight point of view, to always look for those three things in the audit report, because that ultimately, we nowadays use the term clean audit, and a clean audit is basically an audit report where you get an unqualified financial audit opinion, no findings on predetermined objectives, no findings on compliance with legislation. So that's the ultimate. And as I take you through the presentation, you will get a feel for where the GCIS portfolio finds itself currently. The different opinions that you get is the unqualified opinion, or unmodified, as we call it in technical terms. You'll see there's a smile there. Qualified, it's less good. Disclaimer, of course, not good at all. Disclaimer, I'll give you a bit of background now when we express a disclaimer. Then, of course, an adverse opinion. Those are the four opinions that you can get from an auditor. Now, the unmodified, that is expressed when the auditor is totally happy with what is in your financial statements. And we even use the word unmodified if we don't emphasize something. And I will discuss now with you what an emphasis of matter is and why do we sometimes emphasize something. There's a misunderstanding on what an emphasis of matter is. An emphasis of matter is not a light qualification. So an emphasis of matter is only in terms of the standards that the auditors are sometimes required to draw the attention of the users of the financial statements to something that has already been disclosed in the financial statements. So let's take the example of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure. If an entity has disclosed the irregular expenditure adequately, we're happy with the number, it's all there, we might only emphasize it. And we will actually say, attention is drawn to note so-and-so in the financial statements with regard to irregular expenditure. So the entity has done, in that context, nothing wrong. Maybe in a different context in terms of non-compliance, but in terms of the numbers, there's nothing wrong. The auditor is actually satisfied. Then you get unmodified with emphasis of matter. That's the one which I've explained to you now. You can get a situation, for instance, and there's a case like that in the case of GCIS, where there's civil claims. So in the case of civil claims, the outcome is unsure at financial year-end date and when you sign off the audit report. So in terms of financial reporting framework, the entity must report in its financial statements that if this civil claim and the potential claim is 20 million rands and the outcome is uncertain. So all that the auditors have to do in terms of our standards is to draw the users of the financial statements' attention to that, because otherwise you might miss that, and that might influence decision-making if you know that there's a significant uncertainty in those financial statements. Once again, the entity have done, in terms of financial reporting, nothing wrong. And then, of course, modified, that's when we start with the qualifications, the disclaimers. Now, normally we would qualify if there's one or two elements in the financial statements that we are not satisfied about, or if there's a limitation of scope or a disagreement with management, which is not pervasive, it's not throughout the financial statements, it's normally one or two items that we're not happy with. A disclaimer of an opinion is based on normally when there's what we call a limitation of scope in our terms. That's when we can't get enough information to assist us to express a positive opinion on the financial statements. And then you get an adverse opinion, and that is when we in total disagreement with management on the content of those financial statements. Now, you can relax, because in the case of GCIS, and the GCIS portfolio, things are actually not looking bad. There's one slide which I haven't yet, but I will include it for you, and I will make sure that your secretary gets hold of this. The slide which you see now gives you the picture of just GCIS, and you will see that for last year and this year, it's unqualified with other matters. So financially, no problem. And the other matters mainly relates to irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. How we reported this year is if there was irregular expenditure or fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because it's prohibited in terms of the PFMA, it's been reported under that compliance part in the financial statement as non-compliance. But financially, no problems. And actually, very good in the case of GCIS and the two entities that fall under the control of GCIS, no findings on predetermined objectives. The other two entities that falls under the GCIS portfolio is the International Marketing Council and the Media Development Agency. Pass me that book, please. In the case of the IMC, it's an unqualified audit opinion with no findings on predetermined objectives.
The only findings was that there was material adjustments made to the financial statements. This year you will see in the audit reports if the financial statements that we initially received for audit were materially incorrect and the management of the entity had to make material adjustments. Because the PFMA requires an entity to submit financial statements, which is fairly presenting at that point in time, we would have also reported that as non-compliance. So in the case of the IMC, we are saying that although we expressed an unqualified opinion, in the end of the day, we have picked up material adjustments during the audit process which had to be made, and therefore there wasn't full compliance. Then there was irregular expenditure of about 2 million rands reported in the IMC, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure was also reported. And the details of that is in this report of the entities. If you want details on what resulted in that irregular expenditure, is mainly by all entities non-compliance with supply chain management procedures, not obtaining free quotations, not going out on tenders, all those various requirements. In the case of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, you will see that it relates mainly to a contract for photocopiers where things went wrong and ultimately the entity did not get the necessary value that it should have obtained. The MDDA is what we call a clean audit. Unqualified opinion on financial statements, no findings on predetermined objectives, no findings on non-compliance. That's the slide that I will prepare for you and send additional for you. It's just to give you then the comparison of the three entities. Like I said, the ultimate goal is to get unqualified with no findings on predetermined objectives or compliance with laws and regulations. This slide just gives you the structure of the audit report. If you look at an audit report, I don't know if you've got access to the annual reports, because I think it will help you a lot if you quickly go to page 120 of these of the report of GCIS, for instance, and then you will see that the first part just deals with the report on the financial statements, the introduction, what is the responsibility of the accounting officer in terms of legislation, what is the responsibility of the auditor general in terms of legislation. Then very important, the opinion, which in this case then is an unqualified audit opinion. And then you get to what we've highlighted in red, the emphasis of matter. Now the emphasis of matter, just bear in mind again, doesn't affect the audit opinion. So in the case of GCIS, we have to emphasize what you see there in paragraph 9, and that the department is currently in the process of reviewing claims from a third party, the ultimate outcome of which cannot be currently determined, and no provision for any liability has been made. So what we are saying is there's a potential claim, it being investigated, ultimately another process will determine whether the department will be liable or not. Worst case scenario is that the department might be liable for the amount claimed. Then you've got the second part, report on legal and regulatory requirements. You will remember earlier on I said that we have to report on three items, financial, so financially unqualified, then report on legal and regulatory requirements. And that under that heading we normally report on predetermined objectives and compliance with laws and regulations. Now, if you look there under predetermined objectives, you will say we are saying there are no material findings on performance information. So that's very good. And the same then for the other two entities under the control as well. Under compliance with laws and regulations, we did report a few items. We reported in paragraph 14 that there was some irregular expenditure due to non-compliance with supply chain management processes. We are reporting that employees were identified to perform remunerative work outside government without the approval of the relevant minister. That's a requirement of the Public Service Act. We specifically look for that now during our audit processes. And then there's a Treasury regulation
which requires that on an annual basis the tariff structure should be reviewed. That's something which the department needs to focus on. And then, because there were irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are required to report that now also as non-compliance, because the PFMA says that the accounting officer should put processes in place to prevent irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The last part of the report then deals with what we call internal control. That is where we're trying to report in the report what is the key element in internal control that we believe should be enhanced to prevent any audit findings. And we deal with it under three different headings. The first one is leadership. What must the leadership of an organization do to prevent any negative audit findings? The second one, what is it that management need to put in place, and what is it that needs to be done specifically with regard to the management of performance and reporting on performance information? And the last heading deals with governance. The governance basically focuses on, do you have internal audit, do you have an audit committee, does it function effectively? So in the case of GCIS, we are saying the findings with regard to irregular expenditure and the other non-compliance findings that we report in paragraph 14, 15, 16, and 17 basically just relate to the fact that the leadership of the organization must enhance the preventative controls a bit to prevent it from happening in future. So that's the only area that we believe there should be some focus on. The last item in our report that we report on is if there's any other reports, and we will then report on whether there's any investigation, any performance audits that's been conducted, or any what we call agreed upon procedures. That's normally when there's donor funding and a donor request that a very specific report being issued for the donor funding. In the case of GCIS, the only item that we reported there is that there's currently an investigation being conducted with regard to certain procurement that was undertaken. And that's the only information on that we have at this point in time. The investigation will have to be completed before there will any additional information be available on that. I've explained to you on slide 4 why do we use an emphasis of matter, basically just to draw the user's attention to something in the financial statements. I've taken you through that. Unqualified opinion. I've taken you through uncertainties. There's just a summary of what is in the audit report, but luckily this audit report, there's not too much detail in it, so it's basically a repetition of what is in the audit report. On that slide is just some recommendations that we felt you might want to consider. I think very important is that they should be focused to ensure that any employees that do perform remunerative work outside their normal work should get the minister's approval, and focus on supply chain management to ensure that there's no irregular expenditure. That is the internal control that I've discussed with you, and then the investigation we've discussed. And then very important, all entities that do have any negative audit reporting or audit findings should have an action plan to address the audit findings, and that is where the portfolio committee can play a role in your monitoring to follow up with the various entities whether that action plan is indeed executed and followed up throughout the year. Chairperson, if there's any questions, I'll gladly answer.
Thank you. On your report, I saw recommendations. It's you recommending to GCIS on what needs to be done to improve the situation which we have detected as maybe whatever level it may be of not complying with certain things and so on. Then what happened to your recommendation?
Chairperson, that's where the action plan comes in. It's a requirement of all entities that they develop an action plan to address all the audit findings. What we will do now during our audit process, when we start with the interim audits, we will have a look at whether those action plans do exist, whether they have been implemented, and we will then give management and the audit committee feedback on whether that action plan has actually been implemented.
Thank you, members. They are saying there's nothing wrong in GCIS and the entities that much. Questions, clarities? Honorable Michael, Strochen, Killian.
Thank you very much. Your little smiley face and unhappy face. I put a little unhappy face next to what you told us about the procurement investigation. Now, in a department, when procurement is done incorrectly, in my opinion, that is a serious problem because it leads to all sorts of possible questions about those procuring, the policy that you have in place, why certain things were procured by certain companies, etc., etc. So to me, that's a pretty serious issue, which I understand you're not here to answer on their behalf, but you know, I don't think we should downplay the fact that there's something seriously wrong with procurement. Now, I understand that you can't discuss it because it's under investigation, but when will we as a committee be informed as to what the problem was and what the outcome of the investigation was?
Chairperson, probably what you can do is just note down their questions, okay. And then when they are all done, then we'll respond once. Trojan?
Chairperson, just a question of clarity, please. Page 8. You are saying that GCIS right now, the outcome there is unqualified with other matters. I just want to know, with other matters, what is that? What is those other matters? I'm not too sure if it was explained, if I didn't catch that, please. And then page 16, please. Under your recommendation, I see all employers performing work outside of the employment. You are thus saying that if you are finding that is happening, then does that mean that the budget of GCIS is affected? How is the budget affected? How do you pick that up? That they've actually done outside work. How do you find out that it's actually done outside work? Okay, and how does it affect the budget of GCIS? Is it the hours that you calculate that they were not in the office and therefore it affects the budget? Okay, so how did you pick that up? I'm quite curious as to how you found out that some staff members were actually working, were employed outside the employment. Thanks.
Honorable Kida.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to have a little bit of additional information with regards to slide 4, evaluation of predetermined objectives. If I look at last year's annual report, there was a little note on the findings there about the usefulness of reported performance information. Does it mean that this year the Auditor General feels that the way in which they determined these objectives made it possible for the AG's office to actually evaluate also the performance of the department against measurable goals? Is that what it says? And secondly, I wanted to also know if we look at last year's emphasis of the matter, which referred to the basis of accounting. Has that been adjusted? And could you perhaps just elaborate a little further on that? Chairperson, we seem to have regular reports from the AG's office on most departments with regards to leadership and management and control. The recommendations as made here in the document by the AG's office, is that not going, is that adequate to actually also give them this one step up, to up the standard of reporting and performance? Would that be adequate, or would you propose that the committee should take additional steps to make sure that the department actually performs better? I think ultimately it is our goal to see that if they get 80%, we must move them to 90% and to 95%, because ultimately that is our role as a representative committee of parliament, to make sure that we really get good value for money from every department, also in respect of this one. How can we improve that also as far as that is concerned? Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Michael?
Chair, just to follow up on my question about procurement as well, I just want to make sure, and I'm sure you do, but I would like confirmation. When you go through issues like procurement and leadership, etc., do you have a checks and balances method so that you can make sure that there aren't inter-family dealings and inter-family procurement, or, you know, my cousin gets this or my brother gets that, you know, that kind of scenario? How do you look at that in terms of doing your general audit?
You can respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. Please, if I sometimes I can't read my own handwriting, so if I don't respond to one of your questions, please remind me. I think with regard to the investigation, I think it's important that the investigation be finalized. What will happen is the accounting officer will most probably at some point in time during the year will have the outcome of the investigation. If by the time that we issue the next audit report, the investigation has been completed, what we will normally do is we will just in short report in the audit report again to say the investigation was conducted and the outcome was the following. So if you want details throughout the year, you are welcome to discuss it with the accounting officer, and if he is at that point in time in a position to make information available to you, you will most probably do that. The other matters that you've referred to,
thank you. Thank you. Okay, does it make sense what I'm asking? Thank you. USBs or voice? Yeah. No. No, you will. You will get.
But there's a risk
in this case, there was still an increase in this claims recoverable. So it's just important to monitor it throughout the year. Although national and provincial departments are, in terms of legislation, supposed to pay GCIS within 30 days, it might not always happen. So it's very important to just monitor that, and that's the reason why we've included it there. Formal code of ethics, that directly relates to the remunerative work outside of government. First of all, people should be aware of the legislation. Sometimes we find that when we raise these findings, that the individual concerned would say, I was not aware that I'm not allowed to have my own business. So it's to make sure that the ethical code is communicated to everyone, that the Public Service Act and regulations is communicated to everyone, and to try and actually get sign off from the individuals that, yes, I've read, I'm aware of the contents of the code of ethics, I'm aware of the relevant legislation. So it then relates to the next recommendation as well, that the department should have a process in place on there's a formal process for senior management to declare on an annual basis, but there's no formal processes in place for the lower levels. So the department should in its from its own put a process in place, maybe to get the rest of the staff to declare on an annual basis, I do not perform any remunerative work outside government, I don't have any business interest, something similar like that to try and tighten it up, because it's very difficult to from management side. So ethics play a big role in this, and at least if there's that conscious sign-off on an annual basis, it should go a long way in trying to prevent it. The budget must be prepared in accordance with legislative requirements. Once again, there's no specific finding that we have got with regard to the budget. We've got the finding which relates to the tariffs that needs to be approved on an annual basis, and there's just a link between the budgets and the tariffs that in your budget you should actually say what is your estimated revenue that you will get from your revenue generating activities, and that's why we put in the link to the budget. And then the last recommendation is that just to make sure that fees are actually reviewed on an annual basis. I would like to say once again that I think the department and its two entities are very close to a clean audit, So you might think that the AG is overemphasizing some of these issues, but I think the entity is so close to getting a clean audit that focus on these areas should yield the results in the end of the day. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I just wanted the understanding of the recommendations. I'm sure you've explained it. I hope GCIS, when they come and present, they're also going to assist us in terms of how to take forward the recommendation to help them to go to absolute clean. Because what we want is absolute clean. Not clean, but it should be absolute clean and so on. But thanks very much for your presentation, and I'm sure we will engage probably on other issues, because it's clear that from your audit side, they've done very well. Maybe it might be the focus on terms of how do we move forward in terms of making sure that everything is in place and so on. But we'll engage with GCIS. And the entities as they present. Thanks very much. I never say DOC. or DOC in brackets and entities.
The next presentation, can it start from the
Okay. Thanks, Chair. If I were to take you through, this is on your electronic slides. If you click with notes, this is how it will ever appear in the beginning. So my apologies there, because I was thinking that you are following with me, but I will take you through. This was the first slide. It was our heading, our reputation promises, our graph, our national graph as per the general report, which shows how many audits with unqualified with a different picture, and the blue one is the age stream by 2014. And then to start with, from your slides, it will be page 4 of your slides, the one with no colors. The communication sector PFMA outcome for 2010-2011 compared to the 09-010, starting with the department there, we see that on the 09-010 they had qualified, and on the 10-11 it was unqualified. Then the total status will be improvement for our department. And on the public entity, ICASA, it was qualified on 09-010 and it is still qualified on the 10-11. The status, it is unchanged. NEMISA, National Electronic Media Institute, it was unqualified on the 09-010. It is still unqualified on the 10-11, so it is still unchanged. And the Universal Service Access and the Universal Fund, both of them were unqualified in 09-010. And so in the 10-11, they're still unqualified as well, so they're still unchanged. The South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, 09-010 was unqualified, and on the 10-11, it was a qualified. When we come to the next slide, I've got a slide on the qualification, whereby I will dwell more on the basis for that qualification. And CENTEC was qualified in 09-010. It is unqualified in 10-11. It is an improvement. Telkom Limited was unqualified in 10-11, in 9-10, and is still unqualified in 10-11. So it's unchanged. But on Telkom, they are exempted from compliance. So these things of PFMA, supply chain, they don't apply to them because they have applied for exemption before. So it is not, I cannot really compare them with the other entities, because other entities, we do audit them in terms of compliance and PFMA. So that does not apply to Telkom. And okay. And also, I think the exemption is coming to an end in 3-4 years' time. And then the SAPO was unqualified, was clean on the 09-010. On the 10-11, they are still clean, but they are with other matters, hence why I've said it's a regression here. They're still unqualified, but it's because this year they've got more matters in their audit report than they had in the previous year. So if I were to give a total picture, Mr. Chair, you see there's two improvements and one main regression on qualification. Hence why I said it's a two in one. But the overall, I think, communication sector has done well in the 10-11 compared to the 9-10. And then if I were to take you to slide number 5, it's still a reflection of this previous slide. It's in terms of the graph that's showing which one went up in terms of improvement, which one was unchanged, and which one regressed. So I'd rather go to slide number 6, which talks about the predetermined objectives. And at the bottom there on my notes, I've got a breakdown of who got which kind of finding. If I were to look at the Department of Communication in the current year, they did not get any finding on the predetermined objective in the audit report. And if I were to look at the public entity, ICASA, they got for the usefulness, reliability, and presentation. And the NEMISA, they did not get any finding on the predetermined objective. The USASA, they got on the usefulness and the reliability. The fund, they did not get any, because the predetermined objectives of the fund is reported under the agency. So there is nothing under the fund. And if I were to look under South African Broadcasting Corporation, there is non-compliance, there is usefulness, and there is reliability. And then under CENTEC, there's only non-compliance. Telkom Limited is exempted from compliance, therefore it does not report on anything on predetermined objectives. And then the South African Post Office, there was no finding on the predetermined objective as well. So taking you up to my graph there above, that shows the yellow, the red, and the yellow. The nodes at the bottom supports all my yellow to show that on the non-compliance, there was no move. It is 25% because it was two entities. On the not useful, it shows there's no move as well. Still 37% because of three entities. And then on the not reliable,
it is still the same three entities as well. Only one entity, which is ICASA, on the presentation. Hence, the red one going up shows that it's a regression. Last year they had nothing. This year they have got something. And then taking you to slide number 7, on the areas of findings of non-compliance with laws and regulations, like I explained previously, the reason why it is 100% is because in our portfolio, in my portfolio, I've got only one department. So if I were to measure one finding over one department, my ratio will be 100%. So that does not say anything negative. It's just to show that there was a finding under this paragraph. So do not worry about the 100% there. And if I were to compare it together with the entities, you will see that under entities, it's 7 entities. So for instance, if it is one entity that has got a finding, therefore we'll come to the 14%. And then there below under the entities, I've got a breakdown of which entities did have a finding under this non-compliance. But interestingly enough, you will see that almost all the entities had a finding under procurement and contract management. And that one I'll talk to when I come to the slides on the irregular and fruitless expenditure. I've got the breakdown amount per entity and all the departments. So I'll support that slide. The last one that say procurement and contract management of 86% when I come to the irregular and fruitless expenditure. And if I come to slide number 9, the one that Mr. Chair stopped me when I was, it is the summary for qualification area. We've got 2 entities that got qualification, ICASA and SABC. And if I were to analyze the basis for qualification, both of them were on the capital assets, and then ICASA was also on the National Revenue Fund, the opening balance of the National Revenue Fund that they have to collect and pay over to the NRF. And then, interestingly enough, you will note that on the revenue, it is a repeat paragraph finding for qualification that they found also last year. And the one for SABC was for a new qualification paragraph. So there below, I've got details of what really led to this qualification. Under SABC, it was the film and sports rights that was disclosed, and apparently they could not give auditors supporting documents to this 310,595 million for the work in progress of 332,954,000. So now just a question from you, maybe when they come to present, you should just dig deeper to find out when did this film right and sports right begin having a problem, because it was picked up this year. Perhaps it is picked up this year, but it is coming from 2-3 years down the line. So that is another thing. And then for ICASA, it is the second qualification from last year. You should just find out from them what is the basis of the problem there. From my understanding, though it is not done by me, there is a system that they need to incorporate that can accurately collect all the So currently the system that they are having, it cannot do that function. So they need to go and source a proper system so that it can be able to classify, to accurately record all their transaction for license fee at the end of the day, so that the auditors, they can rely on such. And also there was, on ICASA, there was a qualification paragraph on property, plant and equipment and intangible assets, whereby the auditors could not satisfy themselves on the accuracy, the occurrence, and the completeness of depreciation and amortization as it was disclosed. So if I were to go back on the previous slide where it was showing who got what, so I'll think for these two entities that got a qualification is where should be your starting line. For instance, you've got 8 babies, but 2 of your babies, they are stopped, and the other 6, when you talk to them, they can listen. So maybe it's for you to start on those 2 ones, sort them out. When you sort them out, then you can deal with everybody holistically, so that next year when we come with everybody with financially unqualified, though others can have other matters. But that is just my suggestion. You are not obliged to bind to my suggestion then. And then if I were to give you a summary on the findings of the supply chain, this is just to show what really leads to all the supply chain, especially on our communication portfolio. I'll support this when I talk to my irregular and fruitless expenditure. You'll see that on the department, because only one department, the main cause for the finding on supply chain was the uncompetitive or unfair procurement processes. But however, when it's compared to the public entities, we found that mostly is the smaller portion is in adequate controls, whereas the rest of 75% is still on uncompetitive or unfair procurement processes. So I'll support this slide when I get to the slides on irregular expenditure, whereby I've got a breakdown per entity, how much did they have for irregular expenditure and fruitless for the year under review. And if I were to take you through to the correction of misstatement identified by auditors, if we look at the DOC, we see that there was only the SCM finding that we found that was identified by auditors as a misstatement, and ultimately they fixed it. And under the public entity, it was only the software rights that was picked it up by the auditors, and ultimately it led to a qualification. And under the property, plant and equipment, we picked it up that the asset register was not the right at USASA, because we got the financial statement firstly late on the 13th of June, because they were supposed to come on the 31st of May. And the reason for it at USASA, it was because the asset register was not tying to the GL. So even when the asset register came, we did pick up some mistakes, and ultimately they had to be corrected by the entities. Hence why it's reported here under the correction of material misstatement identified by auditors. And if I were to take you to the next slide, which will be the findings on internal control root causes, under the department, which is our Department of Communications here, we've got the red under HR, whereby we got a lot of findings this year under the HR. And interestingly enough, you will know that last year, our focus was on the irregular, because last year it was qualified from irregular expenditure. So this year when we went, we thought we'll still find a lot of finding on the irregular, but on the irregular, their books was on in good order. But we found a lot of findings. So in their audit report, when they present, you should ask them specifically in terms of their action plan. What is their action plan going forward in order to address those findings in the human resource? And then in terms of compliance as well, we gave them a rate, because even though we never reported on the under AOPI, but under management letter, we had a finding whereby they could not link the expenditure to the project, hence why there was an underspending at the Department of Communication. So even though they've got their vote, they've got their budget, they know how much is allocated per program, we wanted a step further to say, but how much from that program is it allocated per project? So that even if we come the 30th of September and ask you, how much is your spending, you should be able to give us an amount and your percentage. So in the previous year, that was not found, hence why we gave them a red under the compliance there. And then during the part of course of the year, not for the whole year, the audit committee was not thoroughly operational, because the last meeting was in November and the other meeting was it held again towards the end of July. So because it is a department and we know that the audit committee, they've got a very active role to play in terms of governance, so we gave them a finding, but now currently going further, they've got an operational audit committee, but I'm not here to speak for them. When they come tomorrow, you ask them the rate, and they will explain what is the rate. And similarly, the internal audit, because it reports to the audit committee, we also gave them the rate, because without an audit committee, the head of internal audit has got nowhere to report, because he reports to the head of the chairperson of the audit committee. And then under the findings on the internal control root causes for entities, under the leadership for the entities, we've got the rate for 29% on the HR management. This was due to because most of the entities like SABC, they still don't have the CEO. All of positions are on acting. So we realize this lack of leadership, it's impacting down on some of the important controls in the entity. Hence why we gave them a 29% there under the HR management. And then the other percentage on the reporting, we realized although the public entities, especially the one under communication, they've got controls and they can accurately report, but we're still finding a lot of mistake under the reporting of predetermined objectives. Of course, the AG has not yet issued out a gazette as to when they will be able to report this in the audit report. But going further, we realize this is an area of concern, so they must be able to get their house in order and such by where they report. All their reporting is accurately in terms of reliability, measurable, and presentation. And then under compliance, the 86% for the entities, we realized in each of the entities except the telecom, we did have a finding under compliance, especially with the PFMA, with the treasury regulations, with the supply chain management. There was something that we could find. So we realized in terms of compliance, they are not yet at 100%. And then under the risk management, specifically this one was for the SABC, because they did not have the head of the risk officer for the part of their year. And for the internal audit as well, it was for the SABC as well, because the head of the internal audit was vacant. I think even now it is still vacant. And then in the audit report, they had paragraphs in their audit report whereby they report that the audit committee was not functional as per the treasury regulations for the period under review. And then if I proceed, then I'll go to the summary of the HR findings for the public entities. Under the public entities, we found HR planning and organizations for 29%, and then this 29%, it was the findings on CENTAC and SABC. These were the only department that had got the finding under HR. And the 14%, this 14% at the bottom for management of leave, overtime, and suspension was only for the SABC. But the 429% on HR planning and organization, management of vacancy, performance management and acting positions, all those findings were reported in their audit report for both SABC and the CENTAC. So when they come, you can ask them in terms of their action plan, what is it that they have in place going further in order for them to solve this finding under HR, never to have this finding again. And then under the summary of HR finding under our department, we found that on the HR planning and organization, there was some finding there as well. On the appointment processes, proper channels were not followed. And then on the management of leave, overtime, and suspensions, proper channels were not followed. But if you look at the bottom there on the notes, I did give a snippet of some summary from the audit report as to really what really happened there. Just to give you an example, the employees were not contact of employment upon appointment as the requirement of the public service regulations. So this is some of it, it's not the only it. And this is also a summary from the audit report. So when they come to present, I know they're presenting tomorrow, you can be able to ask them why did this happen, and going further, how will they make sure this thing does not happen again. And then on the summary of the irregular and fruitless understanding, your slides, you might not have it because the slides, when they were printed, they might have cut. But in your electronic version here, you have, and I will take you through them one by one, slowly by slowly, so that you can be able to follow me. On the irregular and fruitless expenditure there, I did have a breakdown per entity for the year under review. So if I were to say which one was leading the chart, we see that South African Post Office had a irregular expenditure for 577,350 million, and the irregular expenditure of 39,199,000, which totals 616,514 for the whole communication portfolio, which was followed by SABC for 79 million under irregular expenditure, 96,000, and the fruitless of 77,690,000, which totaled 252,786 million, and it was subsequently followed by Centec for 66,378,000 and a fruitless of 4,666,000. And then it was subsequently followed by ICASA for 5,057,453 and a fruitless of 707,413, which total 5,764. So when I was making my graph in terms of all this figure, you will see that for the department, you can't even see, because if you compare the irregular for the department of 2.8 million to 724 for the entities, you'll see that it cannot even bring a percentage. Hence why in my graph there, the one in the blue, smaller than one, is for the department. And the red, it is in terms of my graph to show how much or in what category was this irregular identified by our auditors. So you'll see that the one in the red, especially for the entities, majority of these irregular expenditures was discovered by our auditor, especially the majority of one from SAPO, whereby there was even a disagreement in terms of the Eco Point building, where SAPA was moving from Jacob Maree Taxi Rank in Bosman. They were going to Echo Point Building in Highfield. I was not an auditor, I was just attending the audit committee, but from what I gather, because even their auditors had to come for technical submission at our office because they could not agree. SAPA did not follow a tender format. They only asked other property management entities to present, and then one of them was given. But when auditors, they discovered it, they asked them, but for such lump sum of a money, that's about more than half a billion, you were supposed to follow the PFMA and advertise it, advertise bidders, which is the tender must be advertised, which everybody on the street is allowed to come and bid for it. But why did you went for four? Then there was some dispute, but they sent a technical submission to my office. We did review it and respond in writing to SAPO that this must be disclosed as irregular because you did not follow the channel. So when they come on, I don't know when, in terms of your program, Mr. Chair, you'll be able to get the juicy from them. Okay. You'll be able to get the juicy from them. Okay. Okay, so in terms of my graph there, the rate was able to show from all this lump sum of irregular, a major portion of it was discovered by our auditors. But that is a major concern because when we come to audit, especially on the supply chain, we are not there to pick up irregular fruitless that is not disclosed. Our main issue is to satisfy ourselves that what is disclosed is complete, not to go and dig other issues. The entity or the department must have control in place on their own so that if anything is irregular, they must pick it up and disclose it. So that is a worry, hence why I put it in red, so that when they come, you must be able to ask them, but what kind of control do they have in place that is able to pick up a readily made irregular or a fruitless expenditure? So this slide is in your list. I just put it in the notes page in order for them to appear twice. And if I were there to my last slide, the IT focus finding, the reason why we have mainly on the department is because on these entities there, my only entities is USASA, USAF, and NEMISA. And for the year under review, when we have an IT audit from our department, they couldn't pick up many issues. They couldn't pick up even any issue. And then the SAPC, Centec, ICASA, their IT is done by the same firm that is doing the regularity audit from them. So when I look up at their audit report, I couldn't pick up any issue. So the red there under the department was to show that our IT audit did find up some finding, but already the department has got some action plan because they had some target. On the 31st of August, the department already sent us some action plan, which we did hand over to our IT audit. So hence why I put it a yellow and a red to show that there was something and something is already happening. So this is in brief, the brief summary highlight of the communication entity. If there is any question, clarity, anything that you thought that it didn't give you the juicy stuff, I'm here to bring out the juicy stuff to you before I give the recommendations to the chair.
Members, Drogen, Michael, Killen, Kekane, myself.
I didn't want to be first, Chair, because I still need to find my questions, but okay.
After this presentation, I need Prozac in large quantities. It's a very, very scary outlook that we're faced with today. Yeah, we're going to have to call the clinic sister. Chairperson, firstly, to the presenter, you are superb. You have indicated exactly where you think problems are, and I appreciate how you have indicated where we should be asking questions on issues, because we are politicians, we are not accountants and forensic auditors, so we take guidance from what you say. So it is very, very much appreciated, the effort that you have gone into to make this understandable for us. Chair, the one thing that I would ask, could we have this presentation in color? Because it's very difficult for us to sit and follow the graph, because we have a black and white copy in front of us. So where you've put things of concern in red or yellow or green, we can't differentiate between that. So, Chair, before the departments come tomorrow, I think that it would be most appreciated. Am I right, members?
Yes,
it would be a lot easier for us to understand if things were in the color. Chairperson, I'm horrified by what we've heard, especially with regards to the wasteless and fruitless expenditure. It's amounts that are almost incomprehensible if one thinks of the state of the country and the state of the economy, the amount of people that are unemployed, the abject poverty that so many South Africans live in, and then you're hearing amounts like 557 million. And, you know, and to think that a post office, the South African post office, that kind of irregular expenditures, it's almost incomprehensible. Chairperson, we're going to hear the recommendations coming up now. But, Chair, at what point, and this is what I'd like to ask our presenter, at what point does this fruitless and wasteless expenditure actually become criminal? Because you're dealing with these amounts, but at what point do we actually put our foot down and say, hold on, this is actually criminal. This isn't just negligence. This is criminality taking place. And how would you let us know this? Because you come here today and you present this to us, and obviously, I mean, you do so with a lot of passion and a lot of insight, and I can see yourself, you're not happy with the findings that you have, that it upsets you too. But how do we as MPs actually, you know, we can sit here and we can grill them when they come tomorrow, but nothing ever happens, Jay. We grill and we grill and we grill, and it's the same old story. South Africans hear on the news all the time. 557 million fruitless expenditure, 517 unaccounted for. But at what point do we actually say, no, this is a criminal offence, you are stealing money? And so I'd like to hear from the presenter what his thoughts are on that, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Killen.
Thank you. Chairperson, I would like to align myself with what Honourable Michaels has said. We have asked the Auditor General before if they could perhaps inform us where the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, where people are being held accountable and could actually be fined, have ever been applied. And the report then was none of the officials in the public service has ever been fined for what Honourable Michaels described as, if not stealing, it is gross negligence on the side of public sector managers. Now, if we look at this, these entities have specific goals and outcomes that will impact very definitely on the lives of people in South Africa. And if we look at the communication sector, there is really significant expectations that if all the entities are working effectively, we could create jobs through this sector that could really make a difference in the lives of ordinary people in South Africa. We should really now come to a position where, as an oversight committee, that we will have to put our foot down. Now, which provisions of the PFMA could we insist on for the department to actually ensure that we have better performance? And what is the view of the Auditor General's office? Yes, we've seen that the department has made some improvement in terms of their own audit. But are the necessary control mechanisms in place within the different sections of the department that are overseeing the public entities? Because the concern that I have is we just seeing annually every time the same problems emerging and being placed before the committee. And we're talking of hundreds of millions of rand that is wasted. So the issue is, at what stage is the Auditor General going to conduct a performance audit on the department, seeing that it has very important entities, to make sure that the structure actually supports the very key responsibilities of the department? I'm aware, and I think the committee is aware of the fact that there were some organizational reviews being conducted. But what is the interaction between the Office of the Auditor General and the Public Service Commission? Because if I look at the report by the Public Service Commission that was tabled at the end of 2009, some very serious managerial weaknesses were identified. Now, if we as a portfolio committee want to really conduct our work very effectively, we will have to look at those that have been identified by the public service investigation into this department, as well as by the Office of the Auditor General, and to actually bring everything together. How do we do that, and what is the role of the Auditor General in terms of the Public Service Commission's investigation? Thank you.
Roja.
Thank you for your presentation. Page 16, the notes that we're getting, because you are saying that it's the most important. I think that's the most important page for all of us here. So if you please, we need those notes, needs to come to us, please. Pity that you've lumped everything together. It would be nice if you had separated them all together, because, for example, on page 7 and 8, I would have liked you to have broken down those various institutes and not put them all together, because there's a big percentage, but I think if they're given us a breakage of each SABC post office, each like a percentage, then we would have had a better understanding of what you were saying. But we can see the problem is serious. I'd like to know more specifically the terminology, for example, on page 6. Not useful. What does that mean? What do you mean there? I'd like to, just to give us a breakdown of that terminology. Like I said, I'd like for each entity, if you could have had broken down. Not reliable. What does it mean? Are you referring to Centec, SABC? We are that. I would have liked, as I said, breakdown for each one. Then I see the red going up. What does it mean there? Does it mean there's an improvement, there's no improvement, those type of things? I think it should give us a better understanding of what is actually happening in these various entities. Then on page 4, I see the word regression. Unchanged. What do you exactly mean there as well? That regression, that just explained that thing. And there was something in the annual report I also wanted to question, but I'll go back to the annual report, Chair, and then maybe I can ask that question later. Thanks.
Honorable Kekans.
Yes, Chair. In the first presentation in this session, the presenter said communication has generally had an improvement, because out of 3, 2 I have improved, only one is still lagging behind. I don't know. I think it was going to help to also say those that have improved, these are the lessons out of the improvement, so that we can use those lessons to help others who are lagging behind. And the one that is lagging behind, this is the reason it's lagging behind. So if you could give us an idea how you think they came about to improve.
Thank you. Van der Berg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make sure from the presenter that slide of wasteless or whatever fruitless expenditure. If you can just, I'm not too sure. The second last column, is that identified by management? Is that the, they said, that six, for instance, is that the cases that has been identified by management or the amount? I just want to make sure of that. Because if management didn't make mention of the wasteful and fruitless expenditure, this is a very, very serious allegation against the leadership of some of the entities. And so we have to go back to the root of the problem, if that is the case. If you can just clarify that for me, and then we've got an immense problem on hands. If that is bad management, if that is the case. Thank you, Chairperson.
You need to clarify that, because I was going to ask that the irregular expenditure or fruitless, because I see there is a column identified by management, whether it's where they've complied in terms of declaring themselves, and the one for the auditors, which I assume it means it's what they've not disclosed. And then it's been picked up by the auditors. But I will say there's nothing shocking about this. This is how the entities behave, even when they present to us, where they deliberately present wrong information or mislead us deliberately. So it's nothing new. I thought just they're only doing to the committee, but it seems as if they are so used in such a way that even during auditors, they still do the same behavior. So it's nothing new for some of us. We live by it, that they don't even trust sometimes what they are presenting before the committee, because there's no credible in some of their information. They just present for the sake of calming down issues, not presenting facts and the other things. So don't worry, we are with you. Some of the things we experience it ourselves, but not all of them, of course. Some they just tweak the words, you know, this parliamentarian, just when you say this and so on, was, not was, or is, they are fine, things go. So they are used. So. But I'm happy they are doing to you too. It's fine. But the issue which I wanted to deal with is on who Honorable Verma Trochen also raised it. Can you just slowly explain, when you say usefulness, reliability, and presentation, what do you mean exactly? Does it mean that they give you useless information? The information cannot be... Because I'm raising that, members, because it's a trend how they behave even when they present other things to the committee. Where they just give you useless thing which does not talk. I just want to understand if it's correct. To what extent? Because I thought it's a committee problem, but if their behavior seems to be everywhere else where they are, people who are in accountability position, they just give useless information which you can use and so on. To me, it seems to be a sort of a cancer, which it means. I thought it's limited to the committee. That's why I'm saying, I'm laughing when you're presenting, but there's nothing new you have presented in terms of the general behavior. It might be this time of figures and so on, but what you say. So if you can explain to me, when you say page, I'm sure it's 6 or 2 on the slide, the summary of audit outcomes, then you say the department, where the department is none. You come to ICASA, is usefulness, reliability, presentation, NEMISA none. Universal Service and Access Agency, usefulness and reliability. We even didn't take their last presentation because we just don't rely. That's the issues I'm saying, that it's a continuous reflection of what is happening in the committee and so on. SAPC is the same 3, except that presentation is not there. Okay, Telcom is fine, SAPO is not there. What exactly it means? One by one, but I'm sure if you explain once, it will apply to the rest in terms of what it means and so on.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, yes, maybe if you can just help me around that.
Thanks, Chair. On the usefulness, we use a criteria whereby we measure the entity against their strategic plan, their business plan, and their quarterly plan. If there's inconsistencies, meaning something has been reported in the annual report, but when we go a step back to check it in the quarterly report, it's there, but if you go back to the annual business plan, it's not there, then we've got what we call inconsistency. Then we will come up with a finding whereby we say what has been reported is not useful, meaning it was not there even in the end. It is just adding statistics at the end of the day. And the not reliable is whereby they reported that something is achievable. Yes. Consistency between the strategic plan, quarterly plan, business plan, and the annual performance plan, the one that is in the annual report. We go back and link whatever that is reported must be coming flow back from the strat plan. If there's inconsistency along the way, then we'll tell them what you have reported is not useful. It's not, cannot do any good to the leaders because it just came to add the targets at the end of the day to put a good picture, whereas it's not a useful criteria or a useful target. ICASA, SABC, and USASA correlation. And then on the not reliable one is whereby they have reported something as achieved, but where when we go back to the source document, we realize that target is not supported by a reliable good evidence, meaning they said they've achieved 10 toilets out of 20 target. When we go back to the evidence, we realize not even 10. Then we tend to say to them, what is being reported is not a reliable indicate, then we come up with a finding called reliability or not reliable. And then on the presentation, there's a format in terms of how the information must be reported, and also that type of information, it cannot be broken apart, meaning if there's four column of, there's a measurement, there's output, there is target, and there is achievable. All the entities must report in that format. If any entity decides to deviate, we will come back with a finding that is called a presentation. And then on the non-compliance is if we got any finding on the preterm objective that is against the laws and regulations that are regulating the audit of preterm objective, then we'll come up to non-compliance.
A format. When they report, they report their own thing. Is what you're saying? Not following the format.
Yes, Chair.
Is this our own entities that we've got CEOs?
Yes.
Full time in the office, earning salary. Thank you. We can continue.
And then if I were to answer your questions, especially for the first one on the irregular expenditure. Interestingly, somebody asked me that why is the entity still incurring irregular expenditure if they know what must they do in order to prevent? Meaning, where is the level of accountability coming from? Or what is the root cause? So when in the general report, when they were analyzing this irregular expenditure per portfolio, although portfolio does not have the same number of entities, like in my entities, except the GCIS, it's 8 in total. So when we compare, although we're comparing donkey by donkey, yes, in the communication, the number, the amount, it's high. Now the question will still come back to the question, why is it happening when the people, they know what to do? So in terms of the PFMA, the accounting authority or the accounting officer has got a duty and mandate, firstly, to prevent fruitless and irregular expenditure. If it has happened, the very same accounting officer or accounting authority has got a duty to investigate and take disciplinary measure.
Now it will come back to the question at the bottom of what are the targets, who has done what. But then you should realize that we come and audit, then the entity will say they are investigating. Now it becomes executive authority's matter, and also it becomes your matter, the oversight board, which is the portfolio committee. It is in your interest every time to know what happened to the irregular expenditure that was conducted in 2009, what are the steps, who was found guilty, because the PFMA says if somebody was found guilty, not only criminal steps are taken, but the steps to recover the money, financial amount must be recovered and paid back to the department. So maybe it is in your interest when they come to ask how much has been recovered from the incidents or the occurrence of irregular and fruitless expenditure. And then in terms of the criminal element, yes, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has got some criminal element, because after it has been found, discovered, investigation must be done as to who was the cause, who did not sign what, or who just decided to ignore the regulation. If it is found, investigation internally can take place, and that person might be suspended, or if it is a real matter, it can be matter can be taken to the South African Police Services, so that it shows that it's really a real criminal element. But the PFMA then, it does not have an act or a clause whereby if these incidents are done by the very same person who's supposed to investigate, for example, if irregular expenditure or fruitless has been incurred by an accounting authority, the PFMA is not that clear to say who's supposed to take the next step. But of course, the automatic step will be the executive authority need to come in, as well as the oversight responsibility, which is the portfolio committee. So it is in your interest to know who really, especially these figures, who was behind them. If it is the accounting authority or officer, then you need to take an active role, because it is in these entities whereby it will be investigation. 3 years down the line, it is still investigation. And we are unfortunately in the audit of following the financial statement. If we tend to deviate and follow the investigation, we will never concentrate on this, the core work of which is our auditing. And then in terms of the performance audit, the call for the Auditor General to do a performance audit come from the Parliament. If you can recall, in 2008-2009, Parliament realized there was misuse of consultants in the public sector, especially whereby the department's finance department is fully capacitated. There is a full-time paid employed CFO, this supply chain, but they still go out to explore the use of consultant. Now, there were questions that being asked, what are these consultants for? Somebody said they are there to transfer the knowledge, but nobody could prove to us in writing whether the knowledge was, at the end of the day, seeded. Then Parliament made a call to ask the Auditor General to perform the performance audit. So if you want the Auditor General to do this type of performance audit on the irregular and fruitless, we will be able to do it. It should be, because we've got all the details by us, it should be an easy task from our side. And then on the notes on the irregular expenditure, the red, yes, is the one that was discovered by the auditors, and the blue one, that was the one that was covered by management. Hence why I said in the beginning that our core function is not there to say whether the irregular expenditure disclosed our core function is not to dig unhidden, undisclosed irregular. Our core function is, when we audit, to satisfy ourselves to the assertion of the completeness, meaning everything that is on the book is a true reflection. That is our function, but not to go and uncover hidden things. So I concur with what the other guest speaker said here by saying, if this is a true reflection, then we've got a really challenge on our leadership that are responsible. That is out of my hands. When they come, we can please take them up on that type of question. And then on the regression, unchanged, on page 4 of my slides there, in the beginning there, on the summary of the outcome. On the unchanged one, it means the entity did obtain the same type of audit outcome like ICASA. Last year it was qualification. Even this year it is still qualification. So it's still unchanged. Nothing, no, the error did not move up and did not move down. So if it is a regression, it means it has moved from a favorable position to an unfavorable position. For an example, SABC, last year it was reply to you, where did the error go up? Did it go up or did it go up or did it remain the same? And then on the issue of the improvement here, with Centec, I will not really say much because Centec, I only attend their audit committee because they are the section 4 that are audited by KPMG. But on the DOC, which is my baby, I can be able to elaborate on the improvement. What worked this year is were our recommendation to tell the management.
The DG seems not to like this thing of calling them babies. She's just looking at you and saying, I can have a baby bigger than DOC.
Okay, I think what they did and what worked is they went back to the COF sources of what led to qualification last year, which was the irregular and fruitless expenditure. So this year, majority of all the irregular and fruitless was identified by the department, which is a good thing to show that they have controls in places to go back on their own, dig and identify it, and then they did went to the step further of disclosing. So this is really what worked for them, because if it could have worked for them last year, then they could have got a good audit outcome last year. So on the Centec, I don't have much detail as to what really led to an improvement. Maybe when they come, if their auditors will be coming with them, you can be able to tell them. I'm only attending an oversight because we have not yet taken a step of taking all the Section 4 direct back. We are started one step at a time of attending the audit committee. This year we'll even attend the EXCO. As time goes on, I'll attend all the meeting as and when and I require. So I don't have much detail with me as to what led to an improvement.
You were qualified, unchanged. It means that you are just the same, bad as you were. So no change.
Yes, you were bad as you were.
No, it's fine, it's fine. Members, honorable, I just wanted to understand unchanged, you see. So we're not repentant, if you talk Christianity languages. Honorable Drogher?
Thanks, Chairperson. This is the time when we do the BRR, obviously the reviewing of everything. So reviewing of so much fruitless expenditure, I mean, if you calculate that, I mean, if the department asks now for more money, and obviously there's no motivation, you know, for getting more money. If you see this is a fruitless expenditure, how do we then motivate for more money from the department? How would you then really motivate for this? I think it's hard. Then in your DOC's annual report, the report of the audit committee, right at the end, it says audit committee did not meet with the AG during the year 2010-2011. Did not meet. So I'd like to know how many times a year should the department meet with the AG office? Who initiates that meeting? If for the whole year, as it says here, that you've not met, that is what the audit committee says here in the report. Are they compelled to meet? Do you compel them to meet? Yeah, so just your feedback on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, you've made some comment, unchanged, etc. I think what we have today established beyond doubt is that two of the very important public entities that report through the DOC to this committee, both of them were in the ICU, but I think they now are very close to going out of the ICU to the mortuary, if financially, if we speak that. And I think it is important for us to realize that we are actually as a committee back to the issue of accountability, as the Auditor General's office said. It's leadership and it's accountability. And in what I fail to understand is that when and how can we move to a situation where we actually apply the PFMA? Because the PFMA makes provision for charges of financial misconduct against financial officers or heads of department, you know, the different entities that are appointed to account for the finances. Now, if we look at the situation where Honorable Bruchan has also said that we are going to be engaging on the reports and the process for allocating additional funds to the different departments, it will be very difficult for this committee to actually be convinced that there's a motivation unless there's visible improvement in the financial management in the different departments. If we look at the page 11 with a summary of the findings on supply chain management, it is very clear that notwithstanding repeated annual reports on the need to get that right, there's been very little progress made on this matter. I want to ask the AG's office, what other mechanisms can this committee introduce? We've noticed that the previous presenter from the AG's office made specific recommendations for this committee to probably adopt. We can adjust, we can add, we can just some recommendations. Would you perhaps also, through you, Mr. Chair, just in respect of the different entities, come forward with very specific steps that we should force through the different entities, as well as insist on oversight from the Department of Communication. What to do? What are the most critical steps to take to get the house in order? For the life of me, I don't think it's only a question of acting appointments in the SABC. There's much more that is wrong there. But it really now requires us to move in with a very definitive approach to rescue these organizations from the ICU, to put them on the very last treatment that will pull them through, because otherwise we will have to admit that notwithstanding the fact that we have the SABC on air daily, the long-term prognosis of the institution is at risk at present. And if we look at the plans that they have and what they come to Parliament for, to say that we want to run a 24 news channel, we want to be ready, we're ready for rollout on all of this, but yet the basics are not in place. And I think we will have to really intervene on a very emergency basis, Chairperson, to make sure that we can do the right things very urgently to get them on the right track again. Thank you.
Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's actually a pity that I have to raise this, what I'm going to say now, as a member of Parliament. I think we are reaching a stage, Chairperson, that it doesn't matter to which political party you belong. But I'm thinking that the entities in the broader DOC chamber or whatever, they are making a mockery of Parliament. And Parliament is going to is losing ground in the eyes of the public who we represent in this House, Chairperson. Each of us, as we sit in this committee, represent thousands and thousands of people who voted for their political party to look after their interest in Parliament. And that's our job. And Chairperson, you are much longer in Parliament than I am, but as you remember, we are part of the same committee since the fourth Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. And how many times, if we are honest with each other, this whole scenario played down before us. You mentioned harsh words like, you know, entities are lying to us. So, Chairperson, I think we must, as a committee, sort of stamp out our authority, because the Constitution of South Africa gave us that authority to represent the people of South Africa, and we have an oversight role over these entities. And the people, you know, if you read a lot of newspapers, then you pick up the lines, and it has been said about the Portfolio Committee on Communication that we are doing nothing. That's really true. And sir, pointing fingers at you, me, Honorable Michaels, Honorable Wilma Droegen, every one of us is pointing fingers to us. So I think we must reach now a stage, because we cannot tolerate this any further and listen to the same old story next year. Sorry, make the mistake, nothing happens. It must end. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Van der Berg. You have the remaining questions, but when you're presenting, I hear you you said you got recommendations. You said before you go to recommendations, then we ask question. I'm not sure whether the question raised by Honorable Killen about what become your recommendations, but also to deal with some of the issues raised, I think at least the DGC from DOC, when they present, they will be able to present for us which institution, for what purpose, are requesting more fund, and so on moving forward, so that we can express our views, support or not support, as they go forward to appropriation, because we can use our power to give effect or not give it effect to those particular issues. In particular, if we feel that it does not worth it to pump money to institutions which does not have accountability and other things and so on. So just request that probably, as the DG, I'm sure it's not part of your report, it can't be, because we are reporting about the post, but as we're dealing with the BRRR report, our service committee to make a final report 21st of October, those issues, I'm sure the department should be able to highlight it, which entity need money, how much, for what, so the, what they are going to present to the National Treasurer, so that we express ourselves and so on. I think that that's one issue which probably we need just to request the department just to look at, so that tomorrow probably they help us around that, so that you don't try to respond to it, because it will be very difficult for you to do that. But I must say, members, you see, that's why I've raised the issue. Because that I didn't know that to what extent this misrepresentation of facts goes. I thought it's only limited to us as a committee. I didn't anticipate that even credible institutions like Auditor General can still face the same problem we're facing in terms of people making presentation, presenting information, accuracy, and other things. So that's why I was saying it will seem, when we say usefulness, strategic, I said, no, those are deliberate. We know. They even break after the committee meetings that we've lied to them. They'll never detect it. You know, they are happy, they celebrate. So it's like a culture which has grown in. Not all of them, of course. There are those who are honest, who are good to present things the way they're supposed to. I think there are issues that with DOC and GCIS, in terms of being the entities, we must find the complementary role in terms of what DOC role is playing and how Parliament must do. What are the limitations of DOC, what Parliament must do? I think those are the ongoing discussions which DOC you must take forward, so that we are able to have a complementary role around those particular issues, because now where I am, they might be also be not telling the truth to DOC. You see, DOC is supposed to do certain things, but if they are not telling the truth even to DOC, it means whatever measures DOC are putting in place are misfiring, because are not set as just things which... so, but I don't know to what extent this misrepresentation goes. I know to the Auditor General, I know to the committee, I'm not sure to DOC when they present these entities, whether they present a true picture of what things are happening, or they are also being misrepresented like they are doing to us most of the time and so on, and it goes down and the other things and so on. So I think those are the issues probably DOC, we need to look into that and find the complementary role.
Of course, members, I hope at one point we reach a point where we recommend removal of CEOs and so on. I think there's nothing wrong for the committee to do that. Of course, unreliable information comes before us. We are clear about those things, that these people are not helping the cause of service delivery and so on. But those are the things which we need to make sure that we give ourselves space, we engage them, we engage DOC, so that when that time comes, people must understand that the position they are holding, a position of responsibility. It's not just position which they find themselves at. You know. What we can't tolerate is the issue of irregular and wasteful expenditure. I think those entities, they have a lot to explain about those issues and so on. And when necessary, heads must roll. You see, people, they have to explain. So I'm just saying all the entities who are coming before the committee to do their annual report, and they are part of those things. We need a clear report, a clear action plan, what they are going to do. And probably just that this is too early for DOC. Sometimes they didn't digest these issues. We'd love even to hear the shareholder, what is the shareholder cause of action around those particular issues, because we need to act and act decisively. We don't have this time of busy lamenting and so on. So whoever will come here from those entities must be clear that we need a clear report, a clear cause of action, as we have outlined those particular issues in terms of recovery, criminal cases and other things and so on, so that people, they understand that we've got a lot of things to do. It's not a nice thing that people, they just come and waffle here and then go with information which they know is not the correct information and so on. So those are the things, members, which we'll proceed to do. The question before you answer the others was that, where do you pick up an institution or an entity which says we're going to do this, but as moving forward, they don't do it? Okay? We've got the 500 million for a long time from Centec idling for whatever reason. They come and present a strategic plan, say we're going to do this. They come next time, they talk other things, and there's nothing happening. You see, I'm raising that issue because, you see, those are issues linked to service delivery. And there seems to be no consistent in terms of people what they say they will do and their follow-up report. If you look at the first quarter standing account on appropriation for DOC, they are at 17 point something expenditure for the first quarter. It's not a good sign. You must remember the department last year, they spent around 60 something. As we speak now, they're supposed to be 20-something, they're at 17-point-something. When you read that report, it will tell you that internal processes is a challenge. I hear you are saying there are processes in place, they're improving, but if you read the first quarter report, still indicates there's a problem in DOC, because the report itself is saying internal processes is a challenge for them to spend. I take your view, they are improving, it's fine. I'm sure probably when we get the second quarter, they'll be improved. But I'm saying, taking from the annual report, previous experience, where they are now, and the percentage of expenditure, there's little change in terms of the behavior of expenditure and so on. But we'll follow that. It might be the outside issue because we are dealing with the annual report. But I'm just raising that because it's pointing on what you're saying. The report is saying internal processes are the main cause not to spend and so on. So there is a link between the previous behavior and ongoing forward and so on around those particular matters. So, but you can respond to those questions which they have asked and probably come to a recommendation so that, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. On the questions for the audit committee, at least four times a year, the audit committee is supposed to meet, but there are other entities like NEMESA, they have up to six audit committees per year, so at least a minimum of four. And the reason why there were no audit committee members is because their term came to an end during the year at DOC. So the process to reappoint, it cannot be over a day. So we knew their problem, but fortunately it was a reportable item in terms of our audit report. And then for my entities that I'm responsible for, NEMESA, USASA, and DOC, I did give them a recommendation that they are already busy with the action plan because none of them got a qualification. But for the section 4.3, which I'm partially responsible for the oversight, I'm attending the audit committee, to come down to the root cause for improvement, I think it boils down to the issue of a leadership and accountability. I can give you an example, Mr. Chair. Let's say the SAPO tender issue. Do you think a clerk that just capture can sign for 577, or it can be somebody only a CEO or a chairperson of the board? It's just a question. Then it will boil down to what I'm trying to say, Uri. The root cause of these entities is the accountability, which is the leadership. So if we have somebody top as the chairperson of the board or the CEO who signed for that and that becomes irregular, who then must take steps now? So then that will sum it up to say the root cause, you should just start to deal with the leadership. If you can deal with other issues but the leadership remains, then even next year we'll still be here with the same problem. Maybe the figures will be up or maybe doubled by next year.
Recommendations? Do you have recommendations?
Yes, you must sort out the leadership.
That EOC must sort out the leadership of the entity. Members, I think that's a fair presentation. It's just that it's difficult about the exercise that you might fall into a trap to try to ask Auditor General what should be asked the entities or DOC themselves to explain. But I think fairly the picture has been presented before us. We understand at least to make our work easier when we read the annual report. Also to be able to focus on certain issues. Honorable Kiran.
Okay, thank you very much. Just the slide 16, the extended schedule that you've presented there that we don't have. I just want to make sure that we get that. And then lastly, to say to the DOC, I think what we have seen today is there's no more place to hide. And that we also want to have a complete open approach from the DOC to play open cards with us, to say to the committee, these are the difficulties that you find in your interaction and oversight over as a shareholder over these entities, and that undertakings are given which are not executed, because that is what happens. Every year we get the AG, then they say no, that the department undertook or this entity undertook to do X, Y, and Z, and that is where the chairperson comes in to say, at what stage do we then say, how do we call them back to account to make sure that what they undertake, they actually really do. Otherwise, it is going from bad to worse, and I don't think anybody here wants to be part of overseeing these important public entities just going deteriorating beyond a repair. Certainly, as members of this committee have said, we will not execute our responsibilities as keeping the executive and the department to account and the different entities to Parliament if we don't put huge amounts of pressure and actually recommend. Disciplinary action and charges for financial misconduct against those individuals who have really let us down badly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm sure DG, you will take interest on page 15 of the presentation for the department in terms of the SR funding. You see that page 15 looks like it's a banana republic department. If appointments are made outside of funded posts are not advertised, things are just up. It's just purely a banana republic department. There's no control at all. But we take note anyway that you have been there, but unfortunately you inherit all the dog and their fleas. What do they call it? A dog and the fleas. You buy a dog, then the fleas are also there. You take everything.
And it's your problem how to separate the fish, the dog from the fish, vice versa, and so on. But I'm just saying, when you read that particular issue, DG, you'll see that really, that was a spaza shop, it's not a department. Anyone wake up in the morning and appoint, if the post is not funded, you don't advertise, you just appoint and do all sorts of things and so on. I hope that your presentation, DG, will find a way of clarifying in terms of how to move forward and deal with those particular matters. Members, anything before we come to an end for today and get ready for tomorrow's presentation? Thanks very much, Auditor General, and your colleague and your colleagues which have already left, the DG for DOC and the CEO for GCIS in absentia and their executives and so on. And everyone who has been here, I'm glad that Telkom is reminded that they are a public entity, although they are registered in the JSE Stock Exchange, but it's fine. But they must remember that they are the entity. At one point, let me not say anything, but we've got a keen interest in terms of what is happening there. But there's nothing we can do now, I suppose. But thanks very much, members and everyone. We are done for today. See you tomorrow.